You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
Right now, across America, the wealthiest generation of parents in history is making the same mistake. They work through fire to build what they have. Years of pressure, sacrifice, failure, starting over, getting back up. The forge made them. And now, with every resource at their disposal, with every intention to give their children the best possible life, they're protecting them from the forge. And that one decision, made from love, made from pride, made from wanting to spare the people they love most, that is a decision that will cost their family everything they built.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank account to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to nearly $500 million in assets, returned $45 plus million to investors, and helped families preserve $100 plus million in taxes. And I want to talk to you about something that most wealth conversation never touch: not tax strategy, not deal structure, not asset allocation. The internist nobody put in estate planning. Because here is what the data actually says. 70% of intergenerational wealth transfer fail, not because of bad investments, not because of the market crashes. Up to 95% of those failures comes down to communication breakdowns, unprepared errors, and the lack of shared family vision. The money wasn't the problem, the story was. Today, I'm going to show you three things. Why the edited success story is the most dangerous thing wealthy parents can hand down. Why your scars are not liabilities. They are your most transferable asset. And why legacy is not a love problem. It's a design problem. And most families are building without a blueprint. Stay with me, because by the end of this, you're going to see your own story differently. Did you know that the Polynesian navigated thousands of miles of open ocean in rudimentary canoes, reaching as far as Hawaii, New Zealand, and even the coast of South America as early as 600 AD. No engine, no steel hull, no radar, no GPS, just a canoe, the stars, and knowledge passed down through generations. For over 3,000 years, Polynesian navigators crossed the largest ocean on Earth with no compass, no map, no instruments of any kind. They read the stars, they felt the ocean swell change beneath the hull, they tracked the flight pattern of birds. They can detect distant islands through the way the waves bent or reflected, long before any land was visible to the eye. This was not guesswork. It was a complete and sophisticated science, accumulated over generations, refined over centuries. And it was passed down the only way it could, directly. Elder to apprentice, body to body, story to story. Every nuance, every technique, every piece of survival intelligence transmitted through unbroken human chain. Then the chain broke. Colonization disrupted the transmission. Within two or three generations, entire navigation routes that had guided thousands of ocean crossings were simply gone. Not because the stars moved, not because the ocean changed, because no one passed the knowledge before the people who held it were gone. The wisdom didn't disappear all at once. It thinned generation by generation, each one knowing a little less than one before, until one generation stood at the edge of the ocean with no idea how to cross it and didn't even know what they had lost. Isn't it something to think about. Tens of thousands of years of accumulated human knowledge passed down successfully across hundreds of generations gave us the ability to send astronauts to the moon, to split atoms, to map the entire human genome. We figured out how to leave the planet. Yet after three generations, we can't manage to pass down the wisdom that built a family's wealth. 90% of it gone by the third generation. The knowledge transfer system didn't break across all human history. It broke right now in the most comfortable era we have ever lived. Here's what it tells us about wealth. Think about what gets lost when the story doesn't travel. Not the money, not yet. First is something smaller, something quieter. The operating code, the unspoken understanding of what this family went through to get here, what it costs, what it required, what we don't understand, and why. When that disappears from the telling, the next generation isn't starting from zero financially. They're starting from zero contextually. And that is the most dangerous kind of empty. Your family's origin story, the real one, not the polished version, is a navigation system. It tells your children how to read the water when there's no landmarks, how to hold course when the sky goes dark, how to find land when everything looks the same. But most wealthy parents don't pass the navigation system. They pass the destination. They hand their children the house, the portfolio, the business, the island, without ever teaching them how to find it in the storm. A survey of high net worth individuals found that 64% admit they have disclosed little to nothing about their wealth to their children. 64%. And I understand why. You work to give your children a life you didn't have. You want them spared from the weight you carried, the sleepless nights, the years of uncertainty, the humiliation of starting from nothing. You protected them. But here is what that protection actually did. It erased the instruction manual. It handed them a destination without a compass. And when the storm comes, and it always comes, they have no idea how to navigate because nobody ever showed them the water. I was talking recently to one of my investors. A man who has built something extraordinary was about to set up his family's trust. He told me he was reluctant, deeply reluctant, to tell his son what he would inherit one day. And I understand the instinct. I did. But I also found quietly heartbreaking because here's what that reluctance actually costs. If you wait until you're gone to hand your children the map, who answers their questions? Who's the moral compass when a decision has to be made with a windfall they weren't prepared for? Who tells them what you would have done? Wealth arrives, but the wisdom doesn't. It is far better, far wiser to have that conversation while you're still here, to pass down not just what they will receive, but how to think about it, to make mistakes with them while you can still help them recover, to be the voice in the room when the room gets complicated. You are not protecting them by staying silent. You're just guaranteeing they face the hardest decision of their financial lives without you. So what this means is that the first thing you owe your children is not a trust, it's the truth. Not every detail, not every unresolved pain. This is not a therapy session, but the honest arc, what you lacked, what you overcame, what nearly broke you, what kept you intact. Give them the navigation system, not just the island. And here's where it starts. Not with a family meeting, not with a formal document, not someday when times feels right. Start with a voice memo. Record it on your phone. Pull out your phone at night, hit record, and tell your hardest years. Not the polished version, the real one. The year where you weren't sure it was going to work. The year you had to make a decision that kept you up at night. The years that forged the most grain structure in who you are today. You don't have to share it today. You don't have to edit it. You just have to capture it before it lives only in your memory. That recording, unscripted, unpolished, 10 minutes long, is worth more to your children than any trust document you will ever sign. Because a trust tells them what they receive. A recording tells them who you are. And here's where it gets uncomfortable. Because telling the story is necessary, but it's not enough. The struggle itself, the heat, the pressure, the break, is not something you can describe away. It has to be forged. Did you know that a samurai sword is considered one of the strongest, most precisely engineered blades ever created? And yet it started life as a brittle, impure ore. Tamahanage, the raw steel used in traditional Japanese swords forging, is inconsistent, flawed. The carbon content distributed unevenly throughout the material. A metallurgist looking at it fresh will tell you it has no business becoming anything extraordinary. But a Japanese swordsmith doesn't work around the impurity, he works through it. The steel is heated until it glows over 2500 degrees, then hammered, then fold it back on itself, then heat it again, hammer it again, fold it again. This process, heat, hammer, fold, is repeated up to 16 times. Each fold doubles the number of layers in the grain structure. Each hammering redistributes the carbon more evenly through the steel. Each cycle of extreme stress removes more impurities and aligns more of the molecule structure in the same direction. After 16 folds, a single blade contains over 64,000 layers of steel. The blade that began as flawed, inconsistent raw ore becomes becomes the most precisely engineered cutting instrument that the world has ever produced. The impurity was not the problem. The process of working through the impurity under extreme heat, under repeated force, that was the point. Remove the heat, skip the hammering, start with perfect steel and simply shape it gently, and you get something that looks like a sword, but shatters the first time it hits real resistance. Your struggle was not a detour from your success. It was the metallurgy of your success, the precursor, the requirement, the prerequisite. Every setback that nearly broke you was a fold. Every failure that humiliated you was a hammering. Every year of uncertainty was another pass through the forge. This is why the first generation builds, not because they had better opportunities, not because they were smarter, but because they went through the forge, the hunger, the risk, the failure, the iteration, the pressure. It creates grain structure that can hold weight. And here's the tragedy hiding in plain sight in every affluent family. The second generation inherits the blade, but they were never put through the forge. So they have a weapon they have no idea how to wield, and with no internal structure to handle the pressure when it comes. 90% of family wealth is lost by the third generation. People call this a curse, sleeveless to sleeveless in three generations. It's not a curse, it's metallurgy. The first generation builds density through pressure. The second generation is still somewhat insulated, but still remembers the sacrifice. By the third generation, the forge is a story nobody tells anymore. And the blade, no matter how beautiful, has no grain structure left to hold underweight. This is not about making your children suffer. This is not about protecting them from every single thing that built them. Age-appropriate friction, real responsibility before real resources, letting them fail in a way that teaches rather than stories, and telling them explicitly, repeatedly, where your grain structure came from. What is the one piece of story, the real one, the hard one, that you have never told your children? Drop it in the comments. You don't have to share every detail, but I want you to name it. Because the moment you can name it to me, a stranger on the internet, you're one step closer to naming it to the people who actually need to hear it. Share the forge, name the folds, let your children understand that the person standing in front of them is not the starting material. They are the result of the 16 rounds of heat and hammering. And that is not a warning, that is a gift. But here is what I need you to understand. Telling the story and sharing the scars, that is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Because families that last across generations aren't just doing that informally over dinner. They're building it, and that is a completely different kind of work. Do you know this cathedral? This is the Cologne Cathedral, and it took 632 years to build. Let me put that in context for you. When Gerard de Rais broke ground in 1248, the Mongol Empire was at the height of its power. Marco Polo had not yet made the voyage to China. The Black Death had not yet swept through Europe. By the time the first major phase was completed in 1322, the Aztec Empire had been founded. The Hundred Years' War between England and France had begun. Construction then stalled for nearly 300 years. During that time, Christopher Columbus reached the Americas. The entire Protestant Reformation reshaped the Western world. Shakespeare was born and died. Work resumed in 1842. By then, Napoleon had already risen and fallen, and the United States was 66 years old. The Industrial Revolution was remaking human civilization, and the cathedral was finally completed in 1880. The same decade the light bulb was invented. 632 years. Dozens of master builders, wars, plagues, empire rising and collapsing, and the cathedral held the original design. It all, not approximately, not in spirit, with structural precision. Because Gerard did not only lay stones, he documented the intent, the load-bearing logic, the precise tolerances, the relationship between every arch and every pillar, the vision, rendering with enough specificity that a builder arriving 200 years later could look at the plan and know exactly what the man who never met him was trying to build. He made the design to function without him. He built for people he would never know, in a future he would never see, and he made sure they would never have to guess. Every stone he laid it as if he were leaving instructions, because he was. Most wealthy families make a catastrophic assumption. They assume that because they built something extraordinary, the people they love will intuitively understand how to continue it. They won't. Not because their children are incapable, but because the design was never documented. The structural logic was never explained. The load-bearing decisions were never made explicit. The wealth is the cathedral, and the blueprint was never drawn. Here's what research shows about why wealth transfers fail. It's almost never the investment performance. It's almost never the tax structure. Up to 95% of failures come down to communication breakdowns, unprepared errors, and the lack of shared family vision. Not the money, the architecture around the money. And the architecture has four components, and most families only build one of them. The first is estate plan. The legal structure every family with a good attorney has is. It's the foundation stones of the cathedral. But nobody builds a cathedral with just a foundation. The second is the origin story, transmitted explicitly and repeatedly. The navigation system your children cannot cross the ocean without. The Third is the value document, not implied values, written values. What does this family believe about money, about work, about responsibility, about who we are, what we owe? If your children cannot answer those questions without calling you, you haven't written the blueprint. And the fourth, the one almost nobody builds, is a family governance structure. Not a trust, not a legal document, a living system for how decisions get made when you're not in the room. Now, you may have heard the term family office and assume it's something that only billionaires have, a staff of advisors, a building with their name on it. Here's what a family office actually is. It is simply a system a family uses to manage, protect, and transfer wealth across generations. The decisions, the values, the governance, the invisible infrastructure around the money. And here's what most people don't realize. Every family already has one, whether they know it or not. A family with $1 million in assets has a family office. A family with $50 million has a family office. A family with $1 billion has a family office. The difference isn't whether the system exists. The system always exists. The difference is whether it was designed or whether it just happened. Most families let it happen and then wonder why the third generation couldn't hold it. One of the simplest structures any family office can put in place at any wealth level is what is called the investment threshold rule. The principle is straightforward. Any financial decision above a certain dollar amount, whether it's $25,000 or $250,000, depending on your family's scale, requires a family council conversation before it moves forward. Not a lawyer alone, not an advisor alone, the family together. It sounds simple. It is simple, and it changes everything because it means that the next generation isn't making the first major decision of their financial lives in isolation. There's a structure agreed upon while you are still here that forces conversation before action, that protects against the impulse, the uninformed, and the well-intentioned but disastrous. Gerard didn't just draw the cathedral's beauty. He drew the load-bearing walls. The governance structure is your family's load-bearing wall. Without all four, you haven't built the cathedral. You've built a pile of expensive stones. Gerard Irvine never stopped his stone laying to document the design. He made the documentation part of the stone laying. The blueprint wasn't separate from the construction. It was inseparable from it. The families that last treat legacy architecture the same way, not as a separate project they get to someday, not as something to do after the estate plan is signed, but as a living practice. Conversations that happen every year, values that get spoken out loud, stories that get told to children while they're still children. You cannot leave a blueprint to people who come after you if you haven't drawn one while you're here. I want to be honest with you about something. The parents I'm describing, the ones who edit the story, who protect their children from every hard thing, who didn't draw the blueprint, they did it from love. Every single one of them. They worked through the forge so their children wouldn't have to. And the impulse to shield the people who you love from pain is not a flaw. It's one of the most human things there is. But love is not architecture. And what your family needs from you right now, what only you can give them, is not more protection. It is the blueprint. The Cologne Cathedral didn't survive 632 years because each generation loved it more than the last. It survived because Gerard drew the plan with enough precision that the love of future builders could put to work in the right direction. Your children love you. That's not the question. The question is whether they will know what to do with what you built when you're no longer here to explain it. The navigation system, the story of the forge, the blueprint of the cathedral, those are the three things that turn wealth into legacy. And right now, not in 10 years, not when the estate plan is finalized, right now is when you build them. The blade that started as flawed, brittle ore and ends up with 65,000 layers of unbreakable steel doesn't get there by accident. It gets there because someone was willing to put it through the fire repeatedly. You cannot see the foes, but they are why the blade holds. Your scars are your grain structure. Your story is your navigation system. Your blueprint is your cathedral. None of these cost money. All of them cost honesty. And the families that figure this out, the ones that pass down the forge, not just the blade, those are the families whose children's children know exactly who they are, where they came from, and what they're responsible for. This is not an estate plan. This is a legacy. If you're serious about building the kind of wealth architecture that actually holds across generations, the kind with navigation system, the grain structure, and the blueprint all working together, I want you to start with our Scaling Own Income Roadmap. It's free, it takes less than 3 minutes, and it's the first real step towards understanding where your wealth architecture actually stands right now. The link is in the description. Build the blade, draw the blueprint, tell the story. The tides always comes. Make sure yours has somewhere to go.
Thanks for listening to the First of the Family podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.